top headlines.
Patriots preparing for Jacksonville this week for Sunday's AFC Championship game at Gillette. The Pats will reportedly have Rex Burkhead back from a knee issue. They might have Adrian Waddle back by this weekend after a knee sprain made him leave the game early on Saturday against the Titans. As for Malcolm Mitchell, the Pats have until tomorrow at 4 o'clock to make him active, or he'll be done for the season. Celtics will host the Pelicans tonight. Celtics tonight at 7 o'clock right here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. After Jason Tatum's knee caused him to sit in practice over the weekend, test came back looking good. Tatum is expected to play tonight. Al Horford also expected to play. C's currently lead the East by 4 games over Toronto, 7.5 over Cleveland. Speaking of Cleveland, they lost to the Warriors in Cleveland last night, 118-108. Following that loss, several prominent Cavs speaking on condition of anonymity to ESPN, Cleveland.com, and The Athletic expressed doubt that their problems could simply be worked out through patience and a chance to coalesce when fully healthy. Several league sources told ESPN that the Cavs would prefer to hold on to that Brooklyn pick they received from the Celtics in case LeBron James decides to leave as a free agent in July. Bruins off today after their overtime loss to the Dallas Stars yesterday. Bees return to the ice tomorrow night, hosting Claude Julien and the Montreal Canadiens. Headlines brought to you by the Boston Area Campus of Connecticut School of Broadcasting. Get in the game. Visit GoCSB.com for more details. I'm Nick Cadlezic. Headlines coming up about half hour.
Hello, Mr. Dane.
Thursday morning at 9.
Good morning, Fred.
Toucher and Rich talk basketball with the Celtics president of operations, Danny Ainge. Brought to you by GE, official data and analytics partner of the Boston Celtics. On 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Making the workday a little more entertaining.
Floppity flop, flop, flop. There.
It's Zoe and the Beetle on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
I'm seriously, what do y'all think? Hey, man, get the bubble gum in this. I'm coming. Come on, baby, it's on you, study long.
With so much drama in the LBC, it's kind of hard being Snoop Dogg or Double G. But I, somehow, some way, keep coming up with funky ish like every single day. May I kick a little something for the cheese and make a few ends as I breeze from 2 in the morning and the party still jumping.
Cause my mama ain't home.
I got this in the living room getting it on. And
they ain't leaving till 6 in the morning.
So what you gonna do? I got a pocket full of rubbers and my whole boys do too. So turn off the
for the practicing safe sex. Which is important.
That's right.
I'm Scott. We used to work out to this, literally, in that old weight room. Because he's Willie's cousin, McGinnis.
Right, right.
And when Willie would power clean and squat, we just stand back and watch. And it's, you know, feats of human strength, you know, like that show. Jesus. He was, man, that dude could throw it around.
So Snoop Dogg, who got his start with, as Dan would call him, Dr. Dre.
Wait, you call him Dr. Dre?
Snoop was not the NWA, right? But Jim, Snoop wasn't in the NWA.
I don't know if Jim saved Dan saying Dr. Dre, but something tells me we probably do have that archive somewhere.
Do you know what NWA stands for, Dan?
I do. We can't say it on the radio.
Right. You saw the movie, though.
I saw the movie. Straight out of Compton.
Okay.
I was there.
So Snoop Dogg, also a football fan.
Snoop.
Son is playing, what, college ball?
Yeah,
though?
Son's really good. He went to that popular high school in Las Vegas.
I think his son left, though. He went to like USC and then left, I believe.
Yeah.
Oh, like, I thought he was UCLA, no?
I don't know. UCLA, USC, whatever. One of them. Mm.
Snoop has gone online before and given his commentary about the NFL. So this seems to be pointed, though, at the Patriots owner.
Oh, awesome. Boy.
Remember, he's a Steelers fan.
Yeah, not a Raiders fan.
Ice Cube's a Raiders fan.
Right.
Yes,
and,
correct.
And as we know, a lot of guys in L.A., a lot of people in L.A. would still choose the Raiders as their favorite team over the Chargers and Rams.
The hats
and
are popular.
Anything else. So.
Eazy, God rest.
That's right.
That's right.
This shit sucks, man. Mr. Kraft, get at me about the Super Bowl after party like we always do. These motherfuckers can't get it done. I guess I will get that money from the Patriots again. Sucks being a fan of a team that lets you f***ing down year after year after year. And they fully loaded, talented. I don't know if it's the coaches, the players. I don't know what it is, but I'm disgusted.
Wow. He's low.
I see him at two post-game parties. He's really good. I'd like him to do this one. That'd be fun.
I don't...
I'd stay up all night for
that. Bob Kraft had Elton John the night before the game last night.
It's too old.
I don't know how it would go, having... I mean, we know he's a Steelers fan. You're going to have someone up there as a Steelers fan.
Snoop, it's the reaction you performing get when he takes the stage with the guy in a green suit, and he's got his pimp cup, and it's just... It's on.
Super Bowl after party, like we always do. His mother can't get it done. I guess I'll go get that money from the Patriots again.
He was there last year, but he showed up so late at it. Like, people, he's like, I ain't performing. There ain't nobody here.
When did he show up?
I think at like 3:40.
What were you still doing there?
I left at 5:30.
Weren't you tired?
We were tired. No.
You didn't work for three days after that. Anything to do?
Shut up, Jim.
Let's go ride a duck boat.
I saw Hardy's wife at the airport that next morning. That was a bad morning.
But it was a good night.
I said, I see you there. I'm not going to talk to you. But you have a good trip back. I'm going to sit down over there.
Don't talk to me.
Don't speak to me. Don't anybody talk to me.
All right. So Snoop lobbying directly to Robert Kraft in order to get on the bill.
Hello, Snoop. List of performers. My friend. He's calling him right now. Robert's calling, too. You call Robert out, Robert will call you. He'll call him back.
I'll get it, you dog.
Yeah.
I thought you called me dog. I should call you dog. I should say it.
Hey, Jim, didn't we have that song, the dog song? That's right. What playoff run was that? That was against the Giants. That was a while ago.
Yeah, I was still here. So that was pre-2012.
Wow. That was 11, the Giants.
When he says Gronk, I thought you called me dog. That was
before
Giants?
I left.
Giants?
Yeah.
Wow.
That's a long
way. I would have guessed Seattle.
No, I thought Seattle too, but no. Yeah.
Yeah, that's when you and I were at St. Elmo's in Indy.
That's right. I set the chicken fingers to Reese.
Yeah.
Hey, Gronk. I thought you called me dog. Dog. What's up, dog? Hey, Gronk. I thought you called me dog. Dog. Hey, Gronk. I thought you'd call me dog.
Dr. Tree.
Hey, Gronk. Dog. Hey, Gronk. Dog. Hey, Gronk. Dog. I thought you'd call me dog. Dog.
Starting to feel like Super Bowl week around here. I'm just going to say it. You know what I mean? We're getting there. Other things are ramping up. We're pulling out old stuff.
Vanna White, 58. Still turning the letters.
Yeah.
Matt Dillon, 51. Dr. Is it Dre or Dre?
Dr.
He's a rapper of some sort, I'm assuming.
Dr. Dre.
Nowadays, everybody want to talk like they got something to say, but nothing comes out when they move their lips. Just a bunch of gibberish, and motherfuckers act like they forgot about
Dree.
It's pretty good. Tell you.
Oh, that's good. I never heard that before.
They got the big boy this year. 87. If he has a big game this week, he's going to be in demand this next week. He could take some of that pressure off Brady. As far as demand, you know, time.
Yes.
On him.
Yes.
You know, media attention.
No matter what team makes it from the NFC, if the Patriots make it, Brady and Gronk are 1 and 2 stars of the game.
Oh,
as far as media.
That thing's Monday night again at the, I think it's the hockey arena this year. Yeah.
Okay. Let's go back to the phones here.
All right.
I forgot.
So you know it's a big week because
I forgot about the dog song.
All the cornball stations are all camped out for unnecessary reasons down outside the pro shop. Live shots of the stadium in the background.
Still pretending.
Pats in playoffs.
Yeah, boy.
Channel 7 amping up their coverage.
I'm looking.
Good thing Housley standing out there by that salt pile.
What's wrong with that? It's the story.
Yeah, it's hard.
Here, you should see the movies in the background.
The Celtics haven't played since London last week.
When do they play again?
Tomorrow night. The New Orleans Pelicans are in town.
Tonight, right?
Tonight. They play tonight.
It's a good game.
Pelicans.
Today is Tuesday, so it's tonight.
Cousins and everybody's
favorite. That's what I said.
In the brow.
Can really tell everybody's paying attention to my headlines.
Well, you know something, Nick? Why don't you talk to Mike in Marlboro?
Hi, Mike.
Everybody will pay attention to you now.
How you doing, Mike?
Joe, how we doing, buddy?
What's up?
Beetle, if you're out there listening, I wish you a speedy and happy recovery.
He's fine.
I know we're on to Jacksonville this week, but, you know, Mike Tomlin's been the coach of the Pittsburgh Steelers now since 2007. They've lost three times in the wild card playoffs. You know, he's got Bell threatening to sit out. You know, he's got his team looking ahead. One of his offensive linemen, David DeCastro, coming out saying, you know, it's embarrassing how much we're looking ahead to the Patriots. I mean, he's had, you know, they've gone to the playoffs. They've been pretty good. But how long can Pittsburgh hold on to
a
him
long,
when
long
clearly
time.
He doesn't have control of the locker room?
They don't fire the coaches. The
Colin
guys won
Coward
the Super
was
Bowl.
Great, great
this
on
guy's
this.
Guy's not going anywhere.
So Tomlin's at a press conference just a few moments ago.
Uh-huh.
Asked him what the relationship is between Haley and Roethlisberger.
Yep.
His answer was, I'm gathering information on all relationships.
That's
what this assessment is about. So he doesn't.
Oh, now it's time for accountability.
But are we not,
wow,
like, he doesn't know the relationship between his quarterback and offensive coordinator? They've been together for years.
That's Tomlin's way of telling you we're changing things here.
I think we found out what it was at the end of that game when we were there in December.
Hey, Nick, you told me an interesting stat regarding the Pittsburgh Steelers quarterback that's 6'6", 280, that says we really don't run quarterback sneaks. I kind of can't remember when I did one last.
Yeah, so
I'm not against it, but I don't know. I don't want to throw the coach under the bus. What was that stat you looked up on Roethlisberger quarterback sneaks?
Since 2004, he's run it 19 times. Now, they say they did take it out of the playbook in 2015 for some unknown reason, but that's neither here nor there.
So he's only converted, what, 9?
18 of 19. Running 4th-and-1 QB sneak, 4th-and-1 or less, 18 of 19. Literally, he is the most successful quarterback sneak since 2004. That's run it more than 10 times.
So, just
95% of the time when they QB sneak, 4th-and-1 or less, they convert.
By the way, 15 minutes ago, just 15 minutes ago, Pro Football Talk posted a story. Some Steelers' limited partners want a coaching change.
Ooh. Nice. There we go.
It's about time.
So,
I mean, the onside kick.
It's not unanimous.
When's the last time they fired a coach?
Other than the Rooneys. What is a limited partner with
the
Steelers?
They have some minority owners.
Do they? I thought it was
and they're lobbying to the Rooneys. They want Tomlin out.
They never fired Cowher.
Doesn't matter.
They never fired Chuck Knoll. They didn't ever fire Chuck Knoll, right? I think it's like three guys in 50 years.
Yeah, but it was like pressure. I remember pressure at the end when I was a kid for Knoll to leave, and they switched to Cowher. They've had three coaches, really. That's it. Knoll, Cowher, and this guy.
Those with knowledge of the situation say some of the team's limited partners intend to lobby owner Art Rooney to fire Tomlin and hire a new coach.
The onside kick alone is fireable offense.
They became involved almost a decade ago as a member of the Rooney family sold their interest in the team after acquiring gaming interests that violated league policy. So they had to bring in some limited
John
partners.
Stallworth, Hardy, part of this group.
Hardy, I wonder if the Rooneys would have to observe the Rooney rule. Kind of goes with all my stuff.
Well, maybe they'd have to go the other way. I don't know.
Maybe they get grandfathered in.
Maybe they could just elevate Joey Porter and just interview him. Like, when's the last time you think Joey Porter said anything? Everything like shot him on the sideline. He's got his headset on, his hands in his pockets, his mouth's open. Like, and a defense standing around. He's a hype man. This is amazing what this has come to there and it's sad. They have really, really, they are the most talented football team.
They should
team
be
I've
here.
Seen.
They should be here this
and
week.
And their offensive talent, their fifth receiver could be a one here.
All right, we got a break. We've got the CBS Sports Minute here. It's sponsored by Schultz Law. John Feinstein on the biggest losers to come out of the Vikings' miracle finish.
Just because you're at work doesn't mean you have to miss a story. Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Here come the drums.
Lewis off Brady's left. Tampa's the quarterback. Kicks a shotgun snap. Looking for Quicks. He's got a step. And he can't get there as the ball lands at the 30. A beautiful throw as Brandon Cooks could not reel it in.
Short arm. How does he not run through this? If it's going to be away from you, lay out. Oh, that's not. He's got to have that. It's one of the frustrating things with Cooks at times. It seems like everything's got to be on target.
Quarterback takes a shotgun snap. He's looking left. He throws back in the end zone. Incomplete. He was looking for Cooks to reverse direction.
Tom Brady is so frustrated right now with Brandon Cooks.
How would you explain what Cooks is supposed to do?
Oh, my God. Cooks went to the back end line and went right. Brady thought he's breaking left. There was a hole in the middle. Mm-hmm. He's not reading things correctly.
Throws it for Cooks on the slack. Knocked down by Adoree Jackson.
He's wanting him to come flatter. Brady's looking right at him. It, this is money time. You got to stick with Lewis, Gronkowski, Amendola.
Get drafted. Get drafted.
Just let this roll, Jim.
Yep. Sorry to feel like playoff.
Wicked. Wicked, man.
Yeah.
Kick it, man.
And you know, this is Chuck D. Different from Dr. Dre.
Ow.
Yikes. So here's what we got. Brandon Cooks.
What'd you do in the postgame with this? You and Jones. It's a pretty good postgame.
I pretty much put Jones up on a little, you know, T-ball tee, right?
I should not have told him anything. I shouldn't have even brought it to his attention.
Here you go. Brandon Cooks. Jones, what did you think? And it was off to the races.
All right.
Look, here's what I find interesting about it. A couple of weeks ago, week 17, he drops the ball. He quits on a go route. Back in the day, Tom Brady would have not gone to him again during that game for the rest of the season, and that night would have gone over to his house and burned it down. Instead, this new Tom Brady, right? He goes back to him again and again and again in that game, and he was proved right. It was the right. It ended up being the right thing to do. And by the way, Zoe, they tried again late in the game against Tennessee. They tried. He didn't ignore him. Now, is it a function of not having enough other options? Is it just this is a new Tom, and he feels like he needs to give guys a longer leash than that and allow for some more mistakes? Why?
I think it's a combination. This is a change. I do think it's a combination of things. Obviously, Gronkowski's target number one. He always wants to throw it to him. Balls are going to go to Cooks to make sure that the next team that you play is looking and say, okay, they went six. What'd they go, nine times? He had nine targets. I think it was like 3 of 9 throwing to Cooks.
Yep.
So you're going to watch film and you say, okay, we got to find 14 here for this formation because Tom is looking to go to him here. So they're going to be hypercentric to study that to when Cooks is going to be involved in the play. He's playing out of position right now. That's what I really think is happening. Meaning, he was brought here to be Dante Stallworth 07.
Okay.
Where you had Welker, you had Moss, you had all these guys, you had Kevin Falk, all of them. And now all of a sudden, you know, you were supposed to be the speed guy. Now you're starting to be accountable for reading defenses, altering your route, sliding it down. You see Garoppolo, and I keep going back to that because this is where you get the teaching aspect of Garoppolo sitting there in that FX sound, and he's talking to one of his inside slot receivers. He goes, when you go up, instead of running it, like if we're going six and we're breaking it here, give him this little shoulder underneath to get up under and then snap it, and I'm going to bang it on you. He's telling you, you see something mid-route, alter your route to help you catch the ball. I think Cooks is a guy that where you're going to run a slant. You're going to go up 3 yards, you're going to fake left, and you're going to run the slant. And he's going to run that exact route the way it's drawn on that whiteboard in the meetings. Sometimes you need to take a little more time outside with it, flatten it out because it's man as opposed to zone. If it's zone, you better settle because we're going to throw it in the hole. A lot of things change mid-route. And I think it couldn't be more clear the problem with Cooks if you watch the play. And that's why I screenshotted that Hogan play off the stupid-ass Wickersham article that says he hung him out to dry because Brady's feeling pressure. Brandon Cooks was running a double-move post on the left slot opposite Hogan, who was running a rub route to the right. Safety is 12 yards off him. He starts his double move 6 yards away from the safety. Receivers, good receivers. And this is what Troy Brown has talked about on the pre- and post-game. And he's on there with Felger and Charlie and those guys. I wish I could be in a room with Brandon Cooks to teach him how to run routes. Because as a receiver, the only way you're going to turn that safety's hips is if where? You get right up in the 2 yard space of him. So now I got body pressure. Now I'm pressing him. Now I'm forcing him to settle his hips one way or the other. And now I start to lean right. As soon as he leans right and I see those hips go, boom, I cut that thing back right across his face. He hasn't had a chance to defend me. Brady sees him starting his double move. Safety's 6 yards off. I'm coming off him. There's nobody open there. There was nobody open deep on the Hogan throw play.
Doesn't it seem kind of rudimentary for Brandon Cooks to not be able to execute this now at this stage in his career?
See, we
I mean, do you think it's that bad?
I think it's a combination of things. It's not bad because he's had a very productive year, and he's got speed. He's got the one thing out of all those receivers to where maybe in a game like this,
right,
you get those over-aggressive safeties, right? The Pittsburgh safeties, the Seattle safeties, whether it's Earl Thomas or whether it was Cam Chancellor. And what do? Like to sniff around. We got to hit the tight end. Play fake, pump it to the tight end, little peek to the tight end, and then this guy can go over the top. But it's frustrating because it was a perfect throw from Brady last week in that go route. And Cooks didn't even lay out, but he short-armed it. He could have caught that and ran right through it.
Yeah, last week was a terrible game.
Pulled up and it, yeah. it was one of his worst games.
That was a bad game by Cooks. But I'll say this. The conversation about Cooks, what drives me crazy, people have to understand, when Belichick made that deal, Malcolm Mitchell was expected to be here. Chris Hogan was expected to be healthy. Yeah, Julian Edelman was supposed to be healthy. So they had to change their offense. You look at what happened against Atlanta in that Super Bowl. They had to change what they did in the second half, which was a lot of times go outside the numbers to Mitchell.
Right.
And so that's what they were looking at. They were looking at the speed of the Atlanta defense and the inability to be able to attack outside the numbers. So they go out and they get Cooks thinking, hey, we'll have Edelman, Amendola, Hogan underneath.
You have a role.
Yes.
Now all of a sudden he's forced to play in a different role. And if Chris Hogan needs some reps off, okay, then you're going to have to run one of those verticals inside in the red, and it's up to you to read it correctly. He didn't read it right. And Brady's thrown in the middle of the field where there's a cavern, and Cook's running, he breaks it off actually into the defender. And you hear me on the replay there as we're seeing it. I'm like, oh my God. And then the slant route, Brady's banging a slant on him, and he's looking at him, and he's doing this, and he's telling you, flatten it out more. That is a directive. He's not looking at the ref, looking for a call, or the safety, Brandon. He's looking at you, telling you, and when I say come back, flatter to me, across the face, and I'll put it right on you.
Does he not want to run that round? Is he afraid of what's coming across? He can't see the defender?
No, it's not that. Some guys get it. Some guys don't. Some guys you have to understand are going to do exactly and need to be told exactly what to do.
This isn't
Edelman. This isn't Amendola. This is why Rob Gronkowski is saying Danny Amendola is Danny playoff Amendola, because he knows where that guy's going to need him to go. And I said it. You got to just crunch time. It's Gronkowski. It's Amendola. And it's one of the backs. And keep it to that. Because that's where you could get in trouble, whether it's like the Kenny Britt pick.
I'll throw Hogan in there too.
Or there. But and then Hogan runs a right read route, breaks it across the end zone. Brady finds him for a touchdown late. See, Hogan's starting to come around now.
That's a starting.
He's not going to rust off.
Well, and he's coming back from the injury. But
he's been rusty. He's healthy now. I think they got their full allotment this week. I think they're going to have all hands on deck, and they're going to be able to score.
All right. We'll continue. We'll take some more of your calls here. Dan Shaughnessy with us. Nick Cattles.
Good, Dan.
It's good stuff.
Good job. Dan didn't want to hear any of that. Look, they're going to win. That doesn't matter. Brandon Cooks can play, not play.
Hey, there's a T-shirt with what the guy said about. It's got the B word.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're selling those in Jacksonville.
Oh, I'm sure they are.
Bitch.
We're going to win that bitch.
Yeah. Has he come back from that at all? Has he pulled that back?
The team has pulled back on a little bit.
They said they have his back, though, because that's their guy.
Right.
It's just a weird thing that they would be so, you know, fueled by what Pittsburgh did, and the first thing they do is that.
They are sky high coming off that game, and I understand you walk into the stadium and people are there to greet you. I can understand why you'd be excited.
Okay.
I'm not saying this guy's a bleep hole. This guy is no Mike Mitchell. This guy can play.
Nick Cattles with the Hub Headlines, then more of your calls, 617-779-0985.
Sports Hub Headlines.
Patriots getting ready for the Jacksonville Jaguars AFC Championship game happening, of course, on Sunday afternoon. The Pats will reportedly have Rex Burkhead back from a knee issue. Adrian Waddle, still trying to figure it out. Could be back by this weekend after a knee sprain made him exit early against the Titans. That's not official yet. As for Malcolm Mitchell, Patriots have until tomorrow at 4 o'clock to make him active. If that's not done, he is done for the season. Celtics host the Pelicans tonight after Jason Tatum's knee caused him to sit in practice over the weekend. Tests came back looking good. Tatum is expected to play. Al Horford also expected to play. Celtics currently lead the East by 4 games over Toronto, 7.5 games over Cleveland. Celtics tonight, 7 o'clock, right here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Finally, Bruins off today after their OT loss to Dallas yesterday. They return to the ice tomorrow night, hosting Claude Julien and the Montreal Canadiens. Headlines, Sponsored by Helping Hands of America. Help a local charity. Donate your car, truck, or boat today. Call Helping Hands at 888-881-9090. I'm Nick Cadillac. Headlines coming up about 30 minutes.
Zolak and Bertrand.
It's my favorite food.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Do you think they can beat New England?
I think they will beat New England. I really do. I've been on Jacksonville all year. I've been watching that team defensively, what they did. And the other part is the defense didn't do their job yesterday, right? Okay? And they won the game. So not only did the defense not do its part, but Blake Bortles now has some confidence going in. He played out of his mind. And here's his other stat. When Blake Bortles doesn't throw an interception, you know what the Jacksonville Jaguars winning record is?
What?
10-0. So when he doesn't make that big mistake, they win behind this guy. If he goes up to New England and delivers four or five of those big plays that he made yesterday in Pittsburgh, they have a shot. I think they will win and beat New England.
That's Rob Parker. Was that on Skip and Shannon?
No, it's on Colin Cowherd.
I like Rob. He's a little bit of a Patriot hater.
Of course you do. Another tool.
Called him Blake. He called him Blake Bortles.
Bortles. Rob had a crown on his head, a Burger King crown.
Blake Bortles.
While he was on. He's got a lot of. Never mind.
How did he characterize Blake Bortles' game on Sunday? Like, I played out of his mind?
Yeah, played out of his mind.
You got to be out of your mind to say that.
He had like 95 passing yards in the middle of the third quarter.
He had a hot stat there. Do you know why he didn't throw in some of those wins? They don't throw the ball. Yeah.
He threw
you
got
to throw the ball to throw picks.
He threw one deep pass to Cole that was a pretty damn good catch down the middle of the field. Everything else was bootleg, dink and dunk to wide open running backs and tight ends and receivers underneath. He had like 95 passing yards, Hardy, in the middle of the third quarter, I think.
Is anything about Blake Bortles' game?
You don't even get his name right, right?
Yeah.
I'm going to talk about this guy on national television and not get his name right.
Anything you saw at a Bortles on Sunday make you think that, okay, maybe there's a little something more there than I thought.
No.
For a lot of New England fans, this was their first chance to really look at him for
at
an extended period.
We looked at him then, and we looked at him. I watched that Buffalo game. That was the yuck fest. That Buffalo
that
game
was bad.
That set football back 40 years.
Did you say, okay, but here he is. He's in a, this is
that was a good big, spot for him.
Big spot for him. I thought he played pretty well.
He can do a few things with his legs.
Look,
when the play breaks down,
he wasn't garbage on Sunday. He wasn't.
Was that Pittsburgh not having respect for him and blitzing him and vacating areas to where, okay, you want to really go after me and be stupid instead of play base sound defense and do your job, stay in your lane, and frustrate him? That's what you're going to do here.
Dare I say he was average to maybe even a tick above average?
He was above average
on Sunday.
He was good. He wasn't
a garbage below average quarterback. No. He was above average.
So his lifetime completion percentage is under 60. Is that bad?
Yeah, it's bad. That's mine. Yeah.
That's just mine, he says.
But you, weren't you AFC Offensive Player
Twice.
Of the Week?
When's he been one? But he's won two playoff games. I've lost one.
In Jacksonville.
Last time we played Jacksonville. Thank you, Dan.
Sorry.
Thanks for bringing that one up.
Here's the thing. On Sunday, the Patriots are going to be able to walk right into that game and do the same thing defensively they did against the Titans. Same thing. They are going to make sure they can stop a big running back like Derrick Henry, Leonard Fournette. They're going to make Bortles beat them, probably spy somebody, Flowers, I would think, once again, who's done a good job in that spot. They're going to make Bortles face third and medium, third and long all day and try to fit the football into tight windows. And he can't do that. Mariota is much better than Bortles, and we saw what the Patriots were able to do.
I agree with that.
And the Tennessee offensive line is much better than Jacksonville.
Better back, better tight end. I don't say better back. I think a more explosive back. I think you have a angrier runner. You have Jules from Pulp Fiction running this week. Fournette, number 27.
And we always talk about, as long as the Patriots take care of the football, though, and we talk, I know it gets boring for some people, but special teams playing the position, you know, a field position game.
Yeah.
If you make Bortles try to drive 70-plus yards against your defense, it's not going to happen consistently.
I agree. That's why Pittsburgh, are you insane for going onside kick?
Yeah.
First of all, you're not going to get the kick. It's really a low percentage play. Kick it away. Kick it in the end zone. There's no time off the clock. Pin them back. You have two timeouts and the two-minute warning. You get the ball back with a minute 55 to play.
So don't these other teams have an Ernie Adams, a guy,
sure.
a guy in
they
his
have
head?
Dumb ones.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like, and Peyton, as much as he gets respect around here, and you already cited some stuff, but he used two challenge flags. I mean, the second one was clearly not going anywhere.
See, his team was down 17-0.
I understand.
Though. And I think you're up against it. I got timeouts. I mean, I really don't use timeouts, mm-hmm. and I trust Drew to use the clock wisely. Yep. Probably I got a veteran quarterback. I'm in one of those games where, okay, we finally got on the board. I'm going to take a risk and try to get the ball back here.
Yeah.
I don't blame him for those challenges. Because initially I'm looking at him, but then as you study it and as the challenge flag's already thrown, you saw, oh, his knee's not down.
Or, yeah, there's no way they're getting this.
Right. You knew he wasn't going to win the challenge.
Where's the Ernie Adams? Where's the guy telling him? Don't do it.
There's people up there telling him what to do, but then does that guy overrule him? See, I think Bill has so much respect for Ernie that he's going to side on.
Absolutely.
And Bill doesn't deal with, staring at
him. No, you didn't see the stories, though? The Saints said their video replay monitors were out up in the coaches' booth.
No, perfect. They were listening to Scott Zolak.
There you go.
See, if that happened in Gillette, that would have been a slightly bigger story, I think.
See,
instead of Minnesota.
This is why we talk about that being a big spot for Blake Bortles, a tough spot for him, and he came out on top on Sunday. This is a tough spot for Dan Shaughnessy to come in here and do this show today.
Oh, my God,
On the same day that he writes, I know and you know that no team quarterback by Blake bleeping Bortles is going to come into Foxborough and be Bill Belichick and Tom Brady in an AFC championship game. The Patriots know it. The Jaguars, God bless them, they know it too. Everybody knows it.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
You just shut it down before we even.
I
had
mean,
a chance
I know that's bad for radio,
it.
But it's. But I speak the
what
truth.
About the, what about the Tom Coughlin angle?
That's. I was just gonna say.
I'm trying.
Anything. I guarantee you, Coughlin isn't just staying in his office.
He should rip the headset off that guy and get down there. It's the only way to win this.
Coughlin's going
to
help them this week. I'm telling you, he's going to do things and say things that's going to help them because he knows Bill and the way Bill's going to prepare.
Yep.
And he's going to help over prepare them.
I hope so.
And he's going to tell Doug Marone, get those a-holes in and keep their mouths shut. Stop running their damn mouth.
Some big differences, though, between what Coughlin had with the Giants and what he has now with the Jaguars. You mentioned this earlier, Zoe. Eli Manning versus Bortles. You believe that Eli, even though not a great quarterback, can make some big-time throws in big moments because we've seen it. And they were also playing neutral site. So the Jags have to come here to Foxborough with Blake Bortles and score enough to beat the Pats. I do have a question, though, because you mentioned this a little bit last hour. You don't think the Patriots are going to run the football against the Jaguars?
They mix it up. Okay. I think they come out throwing the attack, and then they start to run.
Okay. All right.
Then I think that's how you start to say, okay, you're down 10 now. Now they're running the ball on the clock. That's where Jacksonville panics. Start blitzing, getting some run defense up, getting 8 in the box, and then psh, right by you.
Everybody's got
your Cooks play after that.
Everybody's got their tough spots. Bortles had his. He's going to have another one. Dan was in a tough one today based on what he wrote. Nick is in a tough one now because it is your job to supplement Dan's dates.
Yep. This could be the last one.
You know,
if it doesn't improve,
wait a minute.
Whoever's sitting in that chair when Dan does Dan's dates,
do Dan's work for him,
which is essentially this date in history, right? Yeah. Famous
Correct.
Birthdays,
yes.
Important dates.
Stuff
in
that
history.
Happened on January 16th.
It is your job to point out anything that he misses.
Hardy does it well.
Oh man,
Sarge does it well.
I mean,
I'm going to fail miserably. I was not ready for this.
Sarge loves the dates.
Yeah, I know
he's
he does.
He's here.
Sarge, want to come in and do the dates?
He's in the building?
The studio,
He's here. He heard there was a Kowloon drop today.
Oh.
He showed up.
Yeah, well, he's
I don't see any General Gao here.
Other building, then. Hmm. You got to send it over to where... Yeah. Hey, we know where we stand in the pecking order.
Sure do.
Dan's date's coming up next.
Zolak and Bertrand.
It is no longer wise to ignore it.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Damn it. I'm a Dapper Dan man.
And now it's time for Dapper Dan's Dates of Distinction.
For Dapper Dan.
We got the Bruins tickets for you. Caller 10 to the Pride Motor Group contest line. 617-931-0985 gets tickets to see the Bruins take on the New Jersey Devils. January 23rd at the Garden. For tickets, visit Ticketmaster.com. Dan Shaughnessy, as is his custom, will now favor us with his favorite moments from this date in history. Dan, good day or a bad day?
Well,
Beadle has instructed us not to characterize
well,
it ahead
guess
of
what?
Time.
He's not here. He got in a car accident.
He did.
At about 5 o'clock on Saturday. He was home by 8 o'clock on Saturday
Hashtag
night.
Pray.
And 4 days later, he's still not at
Beadle,
work.
Beadle, if you're listening, so I'm still on your side here.
I don't know what to tell. I don't know what to tell you about Beadle.
Or just got a problem with it.
I don't have a problem with it, but he's not here.
Well, I am here. And here's what happened on January 16th so far.
Mm.
It could be more today. A.J. Foyt. So, who's that?
He's a race car driver, yes. Actually a Formula One.
Yes. Wow, pretty good. He is 83 today. Ronnie Millsap is 75.
Country singer?
Let's see. Debbie Allen is 68. So?
Debbie Allen, she was in...
She was in Fame.
Yeah.
And she was married to Norm Nixon, who was the other guy with Magic Johnson for several years at the Lakers.
Wow.
It's like,
yes.
Fame, I want to live forever.
And her sister...
I want to learn how
is
to fly.
His sister is Felicia Rashad, whatever her name was, who was married to Ahmad Rashad, who was Bill Cosby's wife on The Cosby Show.
You know, wife.
Ahmad Rashad did my Jets game with Jim Lampley. I remember sitting down with those guys in a production meeting the night before. I'm like, wow, this is Jim Lampley from the wide world of sports and Ahmad Rashad from the Minnesota Vikings.
So did you have any do you have any Keith Jackson stories through the years?
Oh, God, yeah.
Did you?
We used to play midget league. Not with midgets, but we played, like, the midget.
Thank God.
Yeah, the Mighty Mites.
Yeah.
We'd play, like, 3 games in the morning on Saturdays. And I remember coming home, and on ABC was the game of the week.
Yeah.
And it was usually, like... Texas, Oklahoma.
Oh, yeah.
And, I remember Keith Byers and Keith Jackson here.
You knew it was a big game.
Oh, Nelly.
You knew it was
Earl
a big
Campbell
game.
Earl Campbell from the University of Texas.
Yeah.
And it was a big game. I remember watching the Desmond Howard game that he called, and that's when Desmond did against Iowa State the kick return, and the Cordell Stewart Hail Mary over Ty Law.
Wow.
He called those
That's
games.
Good stuff. Because, you know, Romo had nothing the other day when they tried to say, oh, yeah, this happened, and he said, yeah, time flies or something like that. It was awkward when that came up. And little known fact about Keith Jackson, Party, but you do not know this either, he called the Bucky Dent home run for ABC here at Fenway Park.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, he calls the fly ball to left field.
Neat.
That's him. Okay, singer, now this is a pronunciation. Is it Sade? She's 50. Is it a man or woman?
Sade.
Yeah. Oh, come on, really?
Sade.
Why didn't I run that by you first?
Sade, she's terrible.
I was going to say, man or woman?
Oh, I can't stand Sade.
It's a woman, right?
It is.
Yes.
All right. That woman, who with the name, is 59 today, and Zoe doesn't like her.
Nope.
How old?
There it is. There you go.
This is Sade.
This is that. What movie was this from? This was...
Collaborating with Dr.
No,
Dream.
No, this was from... this is a Robert Redford movie where he stole that woman. And
Indecent Proposal.
Yes.
Oh, really? Nice going, you two. That was good.
That was a good movie.
It's no ordinary love.
I roll around on the mattress.
On your bed sheets with you.
Bunch of money.
I have no
want
idea.
To sprinkle money on me with petals of flowers.
Ooh, that was good stuff.
It's kind of creepy, actually.
Okay.
Really good.
How old is Kate Moss today?
Kate Moss.
38.
Older than the amount of pounds she weighs.
She's 44. We'll leave it at that.
Right. Wow.
Fred Tutcher is 43 today.
Yeah, Freddie! There you go, Freddie T.
Dave Stapleton's birthday is today. He is 64. Why is he significant in Red Sox history? He was the man who was supposed to be playing first base when Bill Buckner didn't field the ball.
You got a double Buckner call right there with Keith Jackson.
Yeah, double Red Sox thing, sir.
I get that going for you.
Stuff that happened on this date on January 16th.
Stuff!
Some old-timey stuff. 1547.
So we're just through the birthdays?
Yes,
okay.
I know. It's like it's a full segment.
Okay,
Ivan the Terrible was crowned czar in Russia.
Nice.
In
1547.
Nice.
Yes.
Hello, it's Ivan from Hockey Team.
And in 27 BC, Caesar Augustus was declared the first emperor of the Roman Empire.
My favorite salad.
The weird part is,
how do they really know?
How do they know it was BC when Christ wasn't born yet?
Nothing
how
counts. Nothing counts until Jesus was
what
born.
What were they
okay?
saying about the date when that happened? Like, it couldn't have been, it's 27 B.C., because it would be prophetic. They wouldn't know.
No, I looked this up once before, and they called it something
They had
else.
To have had other ways to frame it then. They just had to change all the records once Christ was born. Okay, other stuff that happened on January 16th. Prohibition began. Not a good day.
Nice.
1920. Yeah, jeez, took effect. It was repealed by the 21st Amendment, of course.
I like those speakeasies they had after that.
Oh, yeah, good stuff. Yeah, you and I. 1935... The Bakker Gang went down.
The what?
Killed in a shootout with the FBI in Lake Weir, Florida. Stuff like that always happens
was
in Florida.
Is that like the Untouchables?
Ma Barker.
On Racine Boulevard.
Oh, Ma Baker?
No, they were the Barkers. They were the Barkers. Oh. Yep, sorry.
Sean Connery and the Untouchables.
Her son, Fred, was, as again, it's a day for Freds, don't you think?
Yeah.
Yeah, Freddie, he was gunned down, too, by the FBI. The Barker gang. Ma Barker's gang.
Okay.
Yeah, it was not like the Mitch's gang. These guys were really criminals.
Yeah.
On this date in 1942, Carol Lombard had an airplane crash. Perished, unfortunate. On this date in 1970, yeah, this date's kind of tough. NASA nominated 35 candidates to fly on the space shuttle, including Sally Ride. Became the first woman astronaut.
That song, Ride, yep. Sally, Ride, through your mystery ship.
And on this date in 1991, the White House announced the start of Operation Desert Storm.
Nice!
I remember that.
I remember
rockets
that one
going
too.
Through the air and all that stuff. We had a snowy night that night here. And on this date, 1988, the St. Louis Cardinals of football fame moved to Phoenix, 1988 on this date.
All right, so I looked some up.
Thank you, Nick.
Is this count? Ready? 1976, Frampton Comes Alive was released.
Ooh, that's good.
1981, Leon Spinks.
There you go.
Yeah,
he had a police episode or something, right?
1981, Leon Spinks was mugged, and even his gold teeth were taken from his mouth.
Yeah.
Give me your... My mama gave me that
drink. And this is a tough day for Paul McCartney, depending on how you feel. In 1980, he was jailed in Tokyo for 10 days on marijuana possession. Wow. And then January 16th,
same day,
4 years later, he and Linda were arrested in Barbados for possession of cannabis. So January 16th is a big weed day for Paul McCartney.
Stay in England.
Oh, look, to say hello
travel.
There.
Yeah,
the
lay
cool
off on
smoke
that day.
Some weed.
Now, I remember January 16th. You guys remember the like weather videos and the trials of life videos that used to get advertised all the time, like early mid 90s.
Yes.
Like, and I remember buying a tornado video because this is the only way you could, you know, get like tornado
Twister
footage.
Was the first Laserdisc I ever owned.
Okay. But these were actual tornadoes.
Yeah,
right?
No, this is a real movie.
It was like whole VHS tape about like tornado footage. And I remember the
like
voiceover them saying that tornadoes have occurred on every calendar date in the calendar in the United States except for January 16th.
Oh, boy.
But in the last few years, that's been blown up. I checked it out today.
Literally.
But for a long time, there had been a tornado recorded virtually on every other date in the United States except for one, but now that one's over, too. So there it is.
Well, you guys did good, Nick. That was very good supplementation of the date.
Thank you. I tried it. Thank you.
Could be my wingman.
Artie, this is you and Zoe might be. This is one more. That 1985... Playboy announced the end of stapling centerfolds.
I was gonna have that one in my list, but I decided to go
with
the McCartney.
That's right, Hardy and Zoe's wheelhouse, 1985.
Well, I tell you where it really presented a problem. To the kind people who used to hide Playboy, Hustler, We magazine in the woods. And I don't know who these people
it's
are.
It's all sticky and swampy.
They exist all over the country. Guys would, you know, hide, you know, porno mags in the woods for other kids to find.
In a lockbox.
The staples would rust, and it would kind of discolor portions of the pages. So that was...
Expert.
I mean, I was kind of past the point of finding Playboys in the woods by 1985. That's really more of like a 12-year-old pursuit, and I was, you know, just...
She used to go out in the woods and shock the monkey out there, huh?
No, you wouldn't do anything. When you found it, you'd just look at him, learn about life. Figure things out. See what goes where.
Look at that.
I like how Zoe had to like visually show you what he was talking about while he said that, too.
Yeah,
just to make sure the point was made.
Everyone
Thank
says,
God for
like,
the simulcast.
This is why you guys need to be on simulcast. That's why we're not on simulcast.
Yep.
That's right.
That's illustrated
they
right
have to control content, then.
Good job today, Hardy, in the chair.
Thank you.
Nice job, Hardy.
Thanks. Yeah, and, well done. Well, we got another hour,
though you're leaving. We'll be hanging out. Maybe we'll do our tour of the stadium on Sunday.
Sounds good there, Heinz, man.
That'll be good.
See you there, pal.
And then we'll talk about next week.
Maybe we'll go get some ketchup on our fries or something.
That'll be good.
All right, guys. Sauce. Nick Cattles gets us updated here. Tony Maserati wrote a column talking about Tom Brady challenging Jack Nicklaus for title of greatest competitor in sports history.
Nicklaus?
A lot to talk about with this one. We'll do it in 90 seconds.